Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're very grateful again to be allowed the privilege of coming to worship together, Lord, and so much the more as we see the day approach, although we perhaps don't fulfill that order of yours so good as we ought to, more association with each other, more in the Word together, Lord. And we pray if that's really what you want, we know it is what you want, that you'll put it in our hearts, O God, to please you by coming more and more often, Lord, and speaking more and more one to another concerning this end-time word, Lord, building ourselves up in the most holy faith as it is in Christ Jesus. Give us, we pray, illuminated minds tonight, Lord, freedom of understanding, unencumbered, Lord, by the things which we have previously known, but to know this truth as fresh manna from heaven, Lord, and to partake therein with that understanding. Guide and direct us into all truth tonight, and help us to be obedient servants of thine. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we'll just try to, maybe what they say, change horses in midstream, which means I'm going to go back again where we were on Sunday morning. We had already finished the study of God as identified by his characteristics, but there was a portion in there that intrigued me very much because of the fact I just don't believe it's being caught what the prophet was actually saying because of our own previous understanding, which was misunderstanding of the Word of God. Now, he said God is identified by his characteristics. First of all, the word character means distinctive mark, distinctive trait, quality, or attribute. Characteristic is distinguishing trait or feature, quality, or peculiarity, helps to identify because it's peculiar to that thing. All right, then, if you're going to really believe that word characteristic or characteristic, you find here then that these are the very distinguishing features, qualities, or peculiarities that identify whatever it is you're talking about or looking at because that characteristic or that quality is peculiar to that person or thing. That's what you're looking at. And you have to understand that or you... Well, if you don't understand the meaning of words, how are you going to get anywhere? If you don't know east is east and west is west, well, what will you do? Maybe you thought east was north. Well, it might be someplace, but it's not here. So you have to understand then that whether Branham is talking about something that is completely unique to God, and when you see that, you know that it has to be God. All right. Now, going down to the bottom of page 9, he said, first of all, the upper paragraph 63, my characteristics shall do in him just as it did in me. And if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works and you can't believe me, then believe the works because it's spoken of, it must be. Now, right off the bat, of course, many people have the understanding that when Jesus came onto the earth here in the human form, born and, you know, the attributes of God, reduced down to sperm and an egg, that was the fullness of the attributes of Godhead bodily, then God came in and indwelt that person, Jesus Christ. Now, he had to do that because a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you like unto me, and him you'll listen to. Now, God was in the prophet. So, therefore, God had to come in and take on that human vessel. There's no other way he could do it. How would he be a prophet? You see, let your minds go and get eased up. Because if you don't ease your minds up, you're right back in denomination and organization, which is exactly what the devil wants. See, that's the trouble. So you've got to understand he's talking in terms of prophet. Now, and they say, well, just a minute. Let me see every single work produced. You don't have to see every single work produced. The identifying characteristics have been previously shown through the prophets in the ages. So therefore, when you start moving up through the prophets, you can see everything that God actually wants done, from raising the dead to multiplying substances to calming storms, you name it. But it doesn't say that everyone has to do the same thing. See, every prophet doesn't say that. Elijah came on the scene with so many miracles, Elijah came and doubled them. So you look at the thought here that there is something Brother Branham is going to bring to our attention for this hour particularly. See, the distinguishing characteristics for this hour. Not for back in the days of Moses when he multiplied pies and flies and brought forth frogs and made dark and this and that. But there'll be something that God alone can do. God in that person. Now, that's what you're looking at it. But he said, if I do the works, you can't believe me, then believe the works, because it's spoken of, it must be. Well, that's exactly true about a prophet. There's a definition concerning him. That he speaks words that humanly cannot be fulfilled outside of a source outside of him, which would be a sovereign force. So when you hear the words of God in a man's mouth or on a man's lips and those things come to pass, you're not dealing with a man anymore, you're dealing with God, because God's in the prophet. See? Now keep that in mind, God is in the Son. Yes, friend. Now he says here, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that tell you who I am. Now, he didn't deny the fact that in them lay eternal life. He said, you're looking for eternal life. What you're doing, you study the Scripture of the prophets, but what you don't know, I am in there, and you're missing me, and therefore you're missing eternal life. I hope you caught what I just said. Now, they were looking for him, but they missed him. And they thought they had him. And Brother Branham brought that out. When Jesus was with Mary and Joseph at the temple, he was happy and excited to be there with the scribes and the different ones and put them on the spot. And so they thought that he was in the caravan. They began going home, and friends said, where's Jesus? Where's the boy? Well, nobody knows. Now, you see, the thing is that they thought that he was with them, and he was with them, but they were smart enough to search for him soaring. And they found him. They went back to the place where they left him. A lot of people leave God and they don't realize they got it back to the place where they left him. The bullet's always got to go back to where it went off course. Now, you see, it doesn't say that the eternal life isn't in them, because he was in them and he was their eternal life. But they couldn't find it. Now, he said, you are looking for eternal life. And those Scriptures tell about me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So therefore, if you're going to identify life, now listen carefully, if you're going to identify life, eternal life, you had better know the Scripture that refers to it and what it is in this hour, because remember, he never loses the role of prophet. God's his own prophet. Brother Branham made some very tremendous remarks. You just got to live with them until they come out here like tremendous diamonds. Now, that was Jesus. See, God manifested, showing himself. Now, Jesus is Jehovah, Savior. That's Joshua, Jehovah, same word. God manifested. So Jesus was God manifest. Who's showing himself? Not Jesus, but God showing himself. You follow? Because Jesus was visible in front of him. And he wasn't showing himself. He's very, very humble, very meek, and withdrawn. They testify who I am. That makes Hebrews 1 now. He's not using that word now. It's just, well, now let's look at this, now this, now this. He's done now. Now, this hour. All right. That makes Hebrews 1 and 1 now. God in sundry times spake by the prophet, clearly identifying the characteristic now of the resurrection of his son. God spoke by prophets then, to his son now. They say, well, then he shut up. He's not talking. That's a lie. Now, what did William Branham say Jesus Christ was? Hebrews 13 and 8. How did he describe him? If he's risen from the dead, and he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit, he will now do what in the form of the Holy Spirit, what he did when he was here in the flesh. Now, what was he here today? Pillar of fire. He's a pillar of fire. All right, then, when he speaks of Jesus, then he's not talking of the body. That's why he simply called it body to differentiate. I kind of offended me for a while, but I'm over it. I can see why. You know? We got to be right with the prophet. He said the body's there. Now he spoke of the Son. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and risen from the dead, he will now do in the form of the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire what he did when he was here upon earth. So, all right, you've got the pillar of fire. You have the Holy Spirit in that pillar of fire. Now, what's he doing again? He's talking concerning his own ministry and himself as the prophet of God. see, that's the whole thing in a nutshell we're looking at here. All right, he said, now, you're looking at Scripture and God manifesting Himself. And here He is right today in a pillar of fire. Now, reading on. The unchangeable God, the same characteristic. The works that I do shall you also. Now, who is He talking about? He's not talking about you and me. This is where Pentecost went off, all haywire. The prophet is not discussing anything but God identifying Himself with the prophet. God in human flesh. And God in human flesh is when that man's lips are saying things, the Word of God, and God brings it to pass. That is God in human flesh. That's the definition. You follow me? All right, you're right with me then. Then it says here in desperation, and now the entire Holy Spirit visits the church, making God in human flesh as He did before Sodom. Now, when you see an identifying characteristic, God manifested in the prophet, because the prophet is the living Word of God manifested. See? You've got something you have to look at, and you know you better look at it carefully, because you've got God on the scene. The unchangeable God, the same characteristic. The work that I do shall you also. God known by His identified characteristics, and that's how you know. Now watch how the people respond. Now this response here can throw you for a loop, because the next paragraph then will take you right away from the thought of the singular and put it on the plural. Now if I'm talking about one chicken, I'm not talking about a dozen chickens. When I'm talking about a prophet, I'm dealing with the prophet. I'm not dealing with the people. Now, if you want to know what I'm saying there, let's just go to our Bibles in 1 Corinthians 13. Beg your pardon, 14. And we take verses here. 36, what came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you, the commandments of the Lord. And Brother Branham categorically said, a prophet cannot be judged because he is the judge. I added because he is the judge myself. Because that's what a judge is. He's the revealer of the word, the discerner, the decider, the one that puts it together. All right, he tells you this here then. Now, listen carefully. You say, well, I tell you this, we sing this, we do this, and we do. That's not what I'm talking about. And I forgot he said that, but I said it for him. Was in my subconscious by grace. So you're not talking about what you think and what you're doing. what you're into is a group of people, the bride of Christ, body of Christ, this, that, whatever you call yourself. Listen, he said, what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the Word, that's Logos, not just this now, that's printed page. Because this doesn't manifest itself. No way, shape, and form. Say, okay, manifest itself. Go ahead, manifest it. Well, show me the one that'll swim. Ha! With faith like yours and mine, we make a Bible swim, come on. It's not going to swim, it's going to sink. Logos. This is the printed page, this is a guidebook. This is what you're reading, so you know identification there. When God begins to fulfill it, then the Spirit that wrote the book has gone into manifestation and working through human beings. Because He doesn't choose the sun, the star, and all these things. Now, I'm talking about the Word made manifest, identifying this life. What's He talking about? Life. What life? Jesus' life. Right? Because that's where shedding comes back upon us. Remember, that life is an emptiness out when the entire Holy Spirit visits the church. I'm talking about the Word. That's Logos, made manifest, and identifying this life. See, something's moving, something's going on. God in the prophet. So He's talking about a prophet and God. He's not talking about you and me. See? Now, the Pharisees knew that Bible as good as anybody. Better than any of us clergymen knows how to be. Ours today. They had to live by it. Their great-great-grandfather, a priest. They studied it day and night, and they failed to see that identified Word. Now, what did Brother Branham say the Bible was from cover to cover? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ in the Word. And he said, if you don't see it in every word, read it again until you do. Because He's in the history.
of it. That's more or less what God said to a prophet, how the people took it, what they did or didn't do with it, and how God answered, and how they answered, and back and forth just like this all the time. But he was in it. See, he foreknew and predestinated too. They studied day and night, they failed to see that identified word. They failed to see the Logos identifying himself, and it was right here in the book. Now you've got two witnesses, so you can't escape from God. You've got a written word that you say you know, and you've got a manifestation out here that proves itself that you haven't got what it's got. Then if you can't even recognize what you're supposed to be looking for, how are you going to know it? Now this and that, that's not just not a double talking or conundrum. This and that's serious. Somebody better stop and sit down and listen. But you never have that in the church meeting, don't worry. Now, today Luther said, when you believe you got it, the Methodists say when you shout you got it, the Pentecost say when you spoke in tongues you had it. Had what? What's it? Life. Now remember, Brother Brown said you Lutherans potentially had the Holy Ghost, right? You Methodists potentially had the Holy Ghost. Potential is not the real thing you're building toward it. Then they didn't have the Holy Ghost. You said, well, Brother Bear, they weren't full of the Holy Ghost. I didn't say that. That's what people are saying. I said that before the prophet died. The last chapter of the book of the church age proves that out. I said, Brother Brown, you weren't trying to tell us Lutherans didn't have the Holy Ghost. Luther wasn't baptized the Holy Ghost. He said, no, sir, no way. I said, I thought not, because how can you be bride of Jesus Christ and be where Luther was about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Why, it's ridiculous. A man prophet at the end time come along and say, well, if the first stage you're full of the Holy Ghost, the last stage full of the Holy Ghost, in between no Holy Ghost. Hogwash. I can't believe that one minute. The prophet's got a line with the word. By one spirit you're all baptized into one body, and they without us cannot be made perfect. Then if the first church age had it, and this church age has it. He didn't say that. Oh, that's true. He's not talking about baptism. He said, you say. He said, that's not what I'm talking about. We sing, we do this, we do that. In other words, we believe, we shout, we speak in tongues. Therefore, we know that our group, this is the age, we have the Holy Ghost. Justification gives way to sanctification. Sanctification gave way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost gave way to the Holy Ghost himself. So therefore, the pillar of fire did at the beginning. He has done through the ages, baptizing every believer in the body of Jesus Christ, but he never appeared to a prophet as a pillar of fire spoke face to face since the time of Paul to now. William Branham said it is right on the table. And I got more right to say than any man living because the tape was given to me personally. But some kind of spirit got out in the world. I don't mind. I'm glad it's out there. Because it added some confusion to some little things that I'm very happy about. You say, you're a mean man, Brother Bill. No, I'm not mean at all. I just get happy. When I'm happy, I'm not mean. I mean to be happy, too. He said, you see, Lee, we haven't had a prophet spoke face to face with God like Moses for 2,000 years since the time of Paul to now. And there's a type of prophet that God speaks in visions and dreams. And maybe an inner voice, but when you speak face-to-face with God, there you are. Now, face-to-face with God, somebody's face has got to get down here, not up here, because the prophet doesn't go up here. You see, Brother Branham was caught away, Brother Bale, and some maybe a vision, maybe not, caught up here. That's true, but that was beyond the curtain of time, and he wasn't face-to-face. He saw the people. So you got to watch everything that's said here. Otherwise, we can find ourselves going astray, and we don't want to go astray, do we? All right. Now he said, here. The fruit of the Spirit, he said, some of them said the fruit of the Spirit's got it. And it's wrong. The only evidence is when the vindication, when God himself identifies himself in the promised word of the hour. There it is. But five churches that didn't have a prophet, they had reformers. And sanctification gave way to this. Sanctification gave way to the baptism. The sanctification gave way to the baptism. Baptism gave way to the Holy Ghost himself. And the fullness of the entire Holy Spirit visits the church today. The same as he did back in Ephesus. And we've got to get back to where Ephesus was before she was a fallen woman. That's what Brother Brown said, Ephesus repeat. And it does. I said that before I knew he said it, but it must have been my subconscious because I heard the very sermon it was preached in. Well, I'm going to tell them, the Holy Ghost is faithful to bring everything to your members you need to know. You don't need every single quote in the Bible. You just need to have an understanding. And they'll all line up. Now, he said, who had any more fruits of the Spirit than the kind old priest? Circumcised the children, blessed them, and everything else. And here this guy, Jesus, was come around, kicked over the sacrifice block, looked upon them with anger, beat them, run them out. No identification or nothing. I mean, he didn't have a fellowship card. Didn't know who he was. He had identification. You bet your life he did. But not this, not the identification they wanted. Come and join our fellowship. Say what we say. And you know, I wonder why Brother Branham liked Micaiah so much? Because he had there was 400 priests that anointed. Israelite priests. And a lying devil got in them. And Micaiah stood right there and he just battled those 400 priests. All carried identification cards, all in at the king's table. Fat and sassy. And boy, they had time to study the word needed. Old Brother Bill was out there climbing poles and being a game warden and everything else to make a little bit of money. Wouldn't take an offering. Tried to take an offering one time and he saw the poor old widow's neck trying to squeak out a nickel or dime. Oh, I was just kidding. He said, put it away. Just see if you'd do it. Well, I don't know if that was really what you call a little white lie or just a little test or something. I don't mind. Nothing shocked me. It didn't. I thought his humility was certainly brought out when he did that. Just take the whole load himself. How many were 17 solid years or 20 years? I mean, 17 or more. I think 17 is one of the numbers that run through his life. No identification card. The scripture is his identification. Watch it and go back to the word. See, he had no fellowship card. That's what I was talking about. He belonged to no organization. But God spoke of him. That was his identification. Then what was spoken would have to come to pass. For the hour in which he was there to have it come to pass. And he was a lamb. That is a lamb to the slaughter. He was a prophet. Now he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still a lamb and he's still a prophet. See, people want to change everything all the time. They don't understand his pre-existence. He's back there in the beginning like a light. A light. Sure, there's things I can't understand. I'll preach them. I'll understand them. But I think I understand this. At least some of it. Part of it. Ministry part. Who knows? Now, that's the genuine identification of God in any hour is his identification. Doesn't say you and me. Was God here and did they miss him? No man can see God on him. He's a spirit. Nobody can see him. How do you get to see him? Only through a prophet. Amen. Not a reformer, although that'll do in time. That's all right. The gospel always goes out and catches a fish. Don't ever worry about that. It'll do it. No problem. But we're talking of something else. We're talking of restoration at the end time. A reformer doesn't do it because he can't do it. See? So seals got to be open. Thunder's got to come forth. Who's going to do it? Well, it's in the book because you can't add or take. And who's going to find out where it is? A college of cardinals or students? Oh, for land's sake, that's the last bunch to go to. They barbecue any honest guy coming here for thoughts of God. They got to have their own thoughts. And the Bible says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. For as high as heaven is above yours, so are my thoughts and my ways above yours. And then he says, as rain cometh upon the grass, he says, so my word comes down from heaven. He just bypasses man entirely.
Hallelujah.
See?
Amen.
Except in his own way of doing it. And he bypasses that man because that man can't think his own thoughts. He's in a tube. Now, that's the identification of God in any hour is his identification. That's what it is. The scriptures of promise made identified by the characteristic of the promise which is God. And God is the Word. In other words, he said, you see it right here. And suddenly, there it is right in front of you in human flesh. Because God is operating through a prophet. If they said to Brother Branham, are you the Son of Man? He said, no, I'm not the Son of Man. He said, well, that's fine. I thought the pillar of fire was the Son of Man. He said, pillar of fire is not the Son of Man. He said, it's in the form of the Holy Spirit. See? He said, the prophet or the messenger is not the Son of Man. He revealed the Son of Man. God manifests in human flesh as a prophet. People don't want to recognize that. Yet you say to him, well, have you got the Holy Ghost? Sure. And that's God in you. Sure, I've got God. Yes, sir, amen. Hallelujah, I got God.
Hallelujah.
Which is very, very true. And if you've got God, why deny the prophet? Because that brings you down. Then you ain't got the Holy Ghost. You got something from the devil because pride lifted him up. Double reason to pride. Let's get down to nitty gritty. Don't try to be somebody when you ain't. Fill your role. If you got a role to fill, then don't tread in somebody else's toes. Keep on your own feet and let him fill his role. See? That's what a body does. Come on. Someday, bless God, there'll be 10 people together and they'll get there. You say, Brother David, you give up. Well, so does the donkey. I don't think it's maybe too hopeless, but again, I think it is hopeless. But God's got a bride somewhere. But not us or somebody else. All right. And God is the Word. And the characteristic of that promise being identified, that makes the believer. Now what? You're standing there and watching God manifest himself. And you believe in that manifestation, which is according to the Scripture. That says that, and that alone makes you a believer. See? Not you identifying God as though you did something, but God identifying himself and you seeing and you believing it proves that you're a believer. Now, God worked through the reformers. That's as far as they could go. But in this hour, he's got a prophet. And Christ is here in the pillar of fire in the form of the Holy Spirit. And that's Jesus Christ that's saying yesterday, today, and forever, fulfilling Matthew 12. Which he's obligated to do for the Gentiles that he did for the Israelites. But he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit. And how's he going to do this? Through a prophet. And you believe it, that makes you believers. Then therefore you've got it, that part of that life. You don't have that life, and the prophet didn't have that life. Only temporarily was that life in him. When did Moses shut up and say, I've got God in me all the time? Paul said, I've got God in me all the time. I'm God manifest, hogwash. When you carry that far. But he was manifesting God. Brother Brown categorically said that Moses had was veiling the word. He was God to the people. When he given the word out, he was just Moses again. So was Brother Branham. Now, when you can identify, let's say you're not born again, and you come by and see a meeting, you see something going on. I don't count to the reformers, it could be the very same thing, because a believer is a believer. That's where Brother Branham took the church cases first before the seals. And he showed how that the seals were running with them. Now, let's say that you're just an ordinary paganistic type of Gentile. You're a pagan Christian. Which is a veritable mule. He's all crossed up. But anyway, you see this. And you can identify right there and know that thing is real. You're a believer right there and potentially able to receive the Holy Ghost, and you will. Because all you're required to do is repent from that point of change your mind, be baptized, and God will fill you. But now you say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And then call that a devil? How much Holy Ghost have you got? I'm not talking to you people here. Let's get this flat. I've got the unfortunate problem sending tapes get all over the country. Maybe someone will hear. I don't know. That's God's business and their business. Now, years ago, a Pentecostal preacher down in West Palm Beach said, he said, now my organist goes there. He wouldn't let her go. We need an organist. That's fine. She didn't have to go. I know she'll miss the heavenly course or not. That's her business and God's. I know the judge. But I can tell you, I could stand here as a judge tonight with this word and declare the prophet's word. When you call a man, a William Branham stature, one with a familiar spirit, you have missed it. You're blaspheming the Holy Ghost according to what the prophet said. Do what you want with it. You go, Brother Branham, in your faith, but find out why I believe him at all. You know what they say about a man that eats lunch? Put a knife to your throat. The man that blasphemes the Holy Ghost, put a shotgun to your ears. In case you blaspheme more. You see, this is a serious business. And the characters of that prophet being identified, like, that makes the believer. Jesus said so, and that settled it. Amen. On what grounds? Matthew 16. Who are you? Who do men say that I, Son of Man, am? Why, they didn't even want him to declare him the Son of Man. What does that crazy expression mean anyway? What does that mean? Well, it meant the prophet, of course. Ezekiel, Son of Man. See? Well, who do you say? Thou art the Christ. Flesh and blood did not reveal it to you. And they went on to the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And every true seed of God will always identify the word of his hour. Seven church ages, seven messengers, seven distinct messages. Now don't try to go back in your mind and figure around and say, well, I think I'd like to prove it. You've just done lost out with the prophet, the word of God, and everybody. Just go on home now before you sin further. That's none of your business what happened yesterday. What is going on now? You see, I believe a prophet, then believe now. What do you worry about Wesley's day? After Brother Brown said Moses, Jesus could not come preaching Moses, or Moses could not come preaching a message, nor we'll float down the river and over the Red Sea, we'll get the promised land. Fully on that, God opened the waters. Amen. Not bring more water, you send them back. You and God did the same thing he did in the beginning. The earth was all covered with waters and those glaciers that melted down. He said, let's divide the waters. There's no trick for no trouble God dividing the waters, but notice it's a characteristic of God dividing waters. Nope, there's a catch of God to put gases together and make water. What if one day he decides to unmake it? H2O, as Brother Brown said, hydrogen oxygen, that'll blow you high in a kite. They're both explosive, I believe. The hydrogen is in it. Nitrogen is what they put on. It's not explosive, but hydrogen is explosive. And oxygen is deadly. You got to have it, but if you get too much, it'll burn you to pieces. It oxidizes. All right, that makes it believe what Jesus said, so that's it. Amen. Now, the prophet put an amen to it. He said, so let it be, that's it. Now, that's something you can close. Now we find out the characteristics identifying. They said, if it doesn't do it, then don't believe me. Now Jesus spoke that it would identify him. And now remember, in these days, these last days, he was one among God in sundry times and divers manners, spoke to Paul through the prophets. In this last day, has spoke to us through his son Jesus Christ. Now people don't want that. No way they want it. And they say they want God. They say they want God's way. And they substitute the ways of God, what with? Gifts and virtue and fruit. But Jesus said one day to all those Pharisees, if I had not done the works of no man had done me not sin, but now they're both seen and hated, both being my father. And churches out there hate him like fury. Well, you see, we love the Lord, we love Jesus, hallelujah, shut up your hallelujah. You ain't got to drink pastor knows anyway. Only puts you in debt. You cannot worship God in spirit and in truth. That's what he demands unless you believe the word of the hour. See, they refuse not him to speak yet. When did he stop speaking? Oh, God have pity. The second to the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. And people stop at the first verse. God in sundry times in divers manners. Spoken to the Father in the prophets. Having that is spoken unto us by his son. So that ends it. Hallelujah. Nothing more. Where did they say John got the revelation? Where did Paul get his? The pillar of fire came and he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Just said, well, how did you say? Well, you couldn't be Jesus because after all, he's been crucified, laid in the tomb, and the disciples stole him and all that miserable junk going on. That's why I'm rushing down to Damascus. Did he argue like that? Did he say you couldn't be Jesus? You see, you forget that Jesus isn't Jesus. What do you think it is? Jesus, Jehovah, Savior. It's the same word Joshua. And even the book of Hebrews is translated wrong. It said Joshua could have given them rest. They didn't have to wait. But they did put Jesus in there instead of Joshua. Everybody gets confused. Jesus gives us rest. Joshua doesn't give us rest. We're talking about two men now. He said, the pillar of fire, who are you? The pillar of fire said, I'm Jesus. Boy, he said, you couldn't be. Because if the real truth is the real truth, as your disciples say, you're up there in the right hand of the majesty. Now, who are you anyway? Well, let that do something for your thinking right there. Brother Brown said he's risen from the dead. In Hebrews 13 and 8. That makes Mark 16 peripheral. Because that's just a little part of it. Oh, yes, sir. The same one here, my brother and sister, that came down to give the message to the prophet. He's here at the head of the church to raise the dead. You see, I think somebody else had. We go join the Catholics. Or the Baptists, what it had, presbyters and all that
find still a great work that comes from Satan. God in Sunday time, down and I spoke to the prophets, through the Father, through the prophets. His last day spoke to us through the Son, Jesus Christ. What Son? Pillar of fire. You say, just a minute. Don't just a minute me, because Brother Branham said, when that pillar of fire came down the time of Moses, there was a sacrifice there. He had to have blood. And he said that was fatherhood. But he said the pillar of fire day is sonhood, or sonship. God in three offices. What office is he in? Son of God office. What's the representative? Son of man office. Son of man, son of God, son of man, son of David. Where's the son of man role? Right here. Prophet, spirit of God working through prophet. Every prophet has a role. What's his role? Elijah. Elijah, this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not man, God, but it comes through a man. Prophet. There you are, laying it right there. The prophet said it. I didn't. Because I'm not a prophet. See, I'm glad I'm not. Now, same characteristic. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I'm going to read this carefully. In these last days, he spoke to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. See, identification of God himself. God speaking through sonship, pillar of fire, Holy Spirit. The same one that walked in a human body. Now in a prophet. Who is a part of the Word and manifest part of the Word, which is revelatory. But let's face it. God was manifested. He manifested in this hour. Now, see the identification of God himself in the same manner as he did in the foretime, using the same characteristic. Amen. Notice Hebrews 13:8. It's the same yesterday, sundry times. That's one of the times today. Today and forever the same. His same manner, his same way, his same characteristic. Everything is the same. God, the unchangeable God, can no more get away from that characteristic than he can get away from his commandment. See, they said, you're a man making yourself God. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. Now he said, John was a bright and shining light. You liked your walk in his light for a season. Now John said, I must grow, he must increase. William Brown said the same thing. Well, who's going to increase? Why, he said, I'm just setting it up for some great one to come. And then he said, someplace in one tape, I forget where it was, he said, if that's the man, then I wasn't that prophet. I wasn't that forerunner, something like that. He doesn't like it. I think he might have said, I wasn't that prophet. Can't remember that quote exactly. But he said, he must increase and I must decrease. If he was a John the Baptist, I can tell you one thing that's true. He was the light of the world. And William Branham was a bright and shining light, and he rejoiced in his light for a season, which was the manifestation of the hand, the discernment, and the miracles and all that. But when he got to the Word, forget him. And that was the real Word.
Amen.
They didn't want that light at all. And they crucified themselves, the Son of God, a prince. See? He must increase. That's God. He was the light of the world because he was vindicated, identified Word, Logos, right according to this, that they said was their guide and their map and their revelation. Made flesh. He was God with us. What's God with us? Emmanuel. What's that? That's one of his names. Don't go banding around for names. And then Isaiah said his name should be called Wonderful, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And then the angel came and said, Gabriel came and said, now you're going to call his name Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. That's what he was going to do with the Lamb, but he was all of those in the beginning. And he still is. And if he's here, what is he? Emmanuel. See? Luther didn't have him. Their message couldn't bring him. The Westians, the Methodists couldn't do it. Pentecost couldn't do it. And proved it by the fact they all denominated and organized. They said, this is it. It wasn't it. Luther was looking for it. The pillar of fire, Brother Brown said. Westians looking for it, the pillar of fire. And Pentecost thought they had it. Because they saw certain reflections and things. They had miracles and all the rest of it.
Why, Luther and that bunch didn't have the glory Pentecost had. His brother Branham said the Catholic glory, and they had their reformers, and they were good people. The Catholic Church wasn't destitute through those ages or something new in it until Luther moved out. And it was all over. Why? Because they turned it all down flat. Dead, dead, dead. Now, that was the glory Luther had, far greater than the Catholic Church had. Now, Wesley's come along, and they have a far greater glory than Luther. And Pentecost comes along, and it's got a far greater glory. But he said, this glory never fades. And what kind of a glory is it? God himself. You do what you want with it. Now, I taught that in Ephesians. Here's the God of glory, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. The God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. the entire source of glory. The entire source of a true assessment of character. The same yet they never interchange it. The same glory that means weight. That shows his preeminence, his power. The one that sitteth upon the foot of the hill and weigheth the nations as the dust in the fine balance. The great chemist. That's going to bring every cell together. He will bring your body right from the dust and glorified. You bet he'll do it. You'll be here, but you'll be king. The Father of glory. What glory is it? One that never fades. We're going from glory to glory. He comes in clouds of what? Glory. There, right there, one of them. Revelation. Don't let your thinking. Oh, let your thinking go that way. Don't try to take this kind of sermonizing back to where you came from. If you know out of your organization, it won't work. Got to let your mind go. See. All right. The prophets were God with them. Jesus said so. He said, if you call them who the word of God comes to God, how can you condemn me when I say I'm the Son of God? Is it time to turn it? See? So where the word that's been spoken by God is vindicated, then that is God making himself known by his characteristics. That's the vindication part. And aligning with the word that he wrote, fulfilling his word, it needs no interpretation. It's already interpreted itself, proves what it is. That's why he said, this Bible needs no interpretation because God interprets himself by bringing it to pass. Now then, when we saw manifestation which was clearly from God, we should have stopped in our tracks and said, what is going on? What has that man got to say? Not trying to be somebody going to keep impressing you that I was on the right track way back in 47 when I said, that's the man. If you listen to any man, that's the man to listen to. Why? He wasn't a theologian. But one day I did get to talking to him. Back in 1953, about August, when the hunting season was on. We found we had a lot in common. We were a couple of crazy Calvinists. They didn't believe in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever, and knew we were secure in him. But Jesus had paid a price, and that price was sufficient. God didn't say, I'd paid a price, now you pay a price. Dutch treat? Where'd you find the Bible Dutch treat? That. All right, it needs no interpretation. It's already been interpreted. Proves what it is. Just the same as he said, let there be light, and there was light. You don't have to say, well, what did that mean? It means just, there it is, that proves it. It's already come to pass. Now, Jesus said that. If I do not the works of my Father, or in other words, if I don't have the characteristics, that's identifying characteristics, of my Father, don't believe it. If I had not done the works no other man did. John said the works of Jesus unwritten, all the libraries in the world couldn't hold the written, what wouldn't be written if people wrote it.
Right, amen.
And Brother Brown said he had more success in my ministry in Jeffersonville than he did in his own in Nazareth. The history books categorically, if you're honest Christian historians or religious historians, they'll admit that no man since the time of Jesus Christ had what William Branham had. They've already admitted it. Now they want to to chicken out in it. Well, God doesn't change. Let the historians change. They know nothing anyway. They just look at a bunch of dead rocks and light the trash lights. Now, Jesus said that if I do not the works of my Father, in other words, I don't judge my Father, don't believe. They identify my character, who I am. If you can't believe me, then believe the identification God's given. My character, if my character doesn't identify my position, then don't believe my claim. Now, you see, back and forth on the word. And back and forth on the act. Now, the big thing is, you see, that the people that denigrated Brother Branham, they could not produce what he produced. Now, he had what they didn't have, because no man could lay a finger on his character. Nobody could. Anything he had done wrong, he made right. See? Real fine Christian. He had the fruit. He had the word. Now, they didn't like the word at all, but he had what they didn't have because he could prove he had something they didn't have. Now, if you say you're a Christian, and this man over here hasn't got what you got, yet patently he's got far more than you got, you've got to end up calling him a devil or being sly as Herod the fox. Try to wash your hands, or Pilate wash his hands, all the same group. So I just don't think I have anything to do with that. I just don't know. That's going to be a bit of good in Judgment Day, because a man was sent that you wouldn't know. Let's just find out. The book of Luke, first chapter, verse 17, he should go before the Lord God of Israel, the Spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers and children, even the disobedient, to the wisdom of just. And that person is disobedient, means the ignorant. God's children in ignorance, to the wisdom of the just. Who's the just one? Jesus. Who is he, God manifest in flesh? Going to give him an insight on the foreknowledge of God, which has now been brought into predestination right under your faces. See? To make ready a people prepared to the Lord. Notice, to make ready a prepared people. It is prepared. Is it ready to be served? That's another story. You think, well, a prepared people is a ready people. No way, shape, and form. These are the prepared vessels unto glory. For God said, if I don't send Elijah, I'll destroy everything. Moses had the same experience back there. God said, step aside, I'll kill them all but you. Could he step aside Elijah, kill them all but you? You see, you're trying to tell me only one person prepared to meet God? Well, what about John the Baptist? Who else met God but John the Baptist and to recognize him and worship? Amen. How are you going to worship God? Spirit and truth don't even know him when he's out there large as life, because it is life. You think Wesley would have missed this? Not by a jugful. You think Luther? No way, shape, and form. Two great scholars. Luther was a great scholar. Wesley didn't have much scholarly punch. He carried his weight by his sincerity and his drive. What I've read of the two men, I'd take Luther any day of the week. And yet the glory of Wesley superseded the glory of Luther. Pentecost came along. They were the closest to the ragamuffins. Yet they had brilliant men amongst them too. And their glory exceeded the Methodists. The Methodists looked down their nose. A bunch of tripes, they think the Pentecostals are. Now we're the tripey ones. And yet we've got brilliant men on our midst. And we got the raggle taggles. I'm in the raggle taggles. I don't know any PhDs, and I don't want one. What do the head one? Wait, what do you sleep on it or eat on it? Eat it or what do you? To make ready a people prepared to the Lord. So it doesn't matter. I don't care how good they were and wonderful people. I don't care how educated they were. I don't care how many signs and miracles they had. It still takes somebody to get the people ready. They don't even know the bridegroom. Come on, only one person knew the bridegroom. He said, well, I think a lot of people knew the bridegroom. Oh, no, they didn't. Not this way. Brother Bannon says, you've got to come again. There's got to be an introduction to the bridegroom, the revealed word of God. Not just this word revealed. He's talking about Logos. You've got to take his whole ministry into consideration. The vindication, all of it, is right there in the same book. It's going to do the job. Now, I understand that, don't you? We're going to get the job done because we understand what this is all about. Now, John 12 and 14. I beg your pardon, 14 12. He that believeth, Jesus said on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now look, he that believeth on me, a true believer. Well, you know, Jesus said, I'm the true bread that came down heaven. A man that eats this will live forever. They said, show us that true bread we want. He said, you're looking at it. People, what is a true believer? Well, there's believers there. But there's a true believer. This is back to Ephesus. Let's go back to Ephesus. Ephesians, the first chapter. Where now they're full of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, in verse 15, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Now notice, they had faith and they had love. And Paul said, on the basis of that, the church in divine order with the divine word, she had not fallen at this point. He said, now the next thing is, you have reached the climax of where it can be capped by the Spirit, the head of the church. At that time, there'll be a resurrection after the revelation, and there's going to be a catching away of the bride. I'm going to tell you something. They had not got to that place. They were just entering in. And the church fell. They left their first love. What was their first love? They were the ones that stopped the false apostles. And said, you don't say a false, said, you're false. Get out of here. They stood at that word. Brother Brown said so. And I'm not just saying what he said. That's all. They'd left it. They'd walked away from the revelation. They began walking from the revelation. Why? Because people entered in. But Brother Brown said they would. Oh, come on, Peter says the same thing. If I can find that chapter, sometimes I can find things, sometimes I can't. Doesn't matter too much. Starting on, he said, now, He said, here's what Paul said to the elders. I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel, all the counsel of God. Take heed therefrom unto yourselves and all the flock, or which the Holy Ghost has made you overseas to feed the church of God, which is purchased with his own blood. For this I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Now who are they? Wolves in sheep's clothing, Matthew 7. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now if you think that people haven't got that kind of a spirit to deliberately come and try to take a people in bondage, you don't know your Bible and you don't know humanity. You're just too nice for this world. And one day, old Foxy Locks is going to come by and take you, Henny Penny, because an acorn fell in your head and you thought the world caved in. Yep, just like that. Takes all the foxes, all the Henny Pennies and Goosey Lucy's. You're taking in. And all the pigeons thought they were doves. The Bible categorically states in the last days there'll be false teachers. Now, where are those false teachers? Right within the group. I don't see our group, but that's the way the thing goes. That's what happened back there in the first stage, what happened in the last stage. You can't stop it, brother, sister. There's only one thing you do is just cling to this word and just forget everything you ever learned, the language you learned it in, and begin to get down to the scripture that Reverend Branham had. Prophet of God, that's all you can do. All right? He that believeth on me, the works I do shall he do also. Now look, he that believeth on me, a true believer. The works that I do shall he do also. Notice, in other words like this, he that believeth on me shall be identified by my characteristic of the work. Now that goes right on down the scale from the prophet to every little individual that is producing fruit and witnessing and doing those things that are pleasing to God in prayers and fastings and those things. Why don't we say God's not identified by that? You're just doing the work. God's identified through prophetic ministry. Identified by the works no other man can do. Let's face it. If we're going to deal with God, we're going to deal with God. Not on the foothold of man now, but on the foothold of God. We're going to deal with God on God's ground. God came down on his grounds to deal with us. So therefore, we are going to deal with God on his grounds, not our grounds. Now that goes Lattering down the drain. There goes Pentecost down the drain. Because they want body ministry. Then throw the prophet out. Your body's shot right there. Somebody rise up with some things that are illiterate according to scripture. Illusions. I get your magazines now and then, not very often. I only got one come to the house. I didn't ask for it, how they got my name. That's their business. Sometimes I look at them, sometimes just throw them in the garbage. And I see the big list of names of all the men that write all the books. Come on, I know a lot of those fellas. They're fine men, your own way. They no more believe this than nothing. Why? Because they got too much up here. I seen fine men who said, well, you know, Brother Brown was a great man, but you know, I have something too. And I, at that point, I almost said, look, brother, let's match and see what you've had and see what I had. And I'll snow you under the table, under the rug. I ain't got nothing. Where's to leave you?
Amen.
When you prophesy worldwide events and things, you kind of act just like that in 48 hours. I got proof, Brother Sister. Now, I don't pray for sake where it's a plug nickel, but I've had miracle after miracle. Back in the days, had Norman been around me back in those days, like you wouldn't have a tumor on the brain. No tumor in the brain stood before me one time. They went. I got nothing. No vindication for sour apples. I'm a believer. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Some people say that you wouldn't see a believer or see a tumor that grew on the end of your nose. Well, maybe they're cross-eyed or something. I don't know. But yeah, if you can't see this up here, prophet, and that pillar of fire, and God and the man standing right there and say, I challenge you, bring me 24 of your worst cases, I guarantee you can go all. Stand right there and say, I challenge every man in this building, you couldn't hide if you tried.
Amen.
Take every spirit under control, 5,000 to 50,000, 100,000 to 500,000. Literally take the universe if God wanted to do it. And you couldn't hide if you tried. Say, universe, how do I know what's going on in the camp way down amongst the Syrians?
Amen.
Let's not sell God short, brother, sister. Let's meet him on his ground. He came down to our grounds and meet him on his ground. I want to be on his ground. Not on my ground. Oh, no way, Satan, for him. What have I got to do with vindicating God and proving God? I like what the father of old Gideon said. Well, they said, you better get rid of that son of yours. He knocked our gods flat on the dust. He knocked everything on Baal. Well, the old Gideon fought too well. He said, in that grave, he said, if you got such a great God, let Baal plead for himself. That's the truth. You think God came down and said, Elijah, now Elijah, look at you. You better do a good job for me. Elijah prayed a little simple prayer in less than 1 minute. He said, God, he said, let the people know that you're God. Oh, the fire fell right now.
Right.
Elijah just stood back. He got so and he got the demon spirit. He beat the horses down the hill. And he had a late start. You heard of God get on a man. Lord, he got tired running, because that's why God sent the chariot for him, fiery chariot. God said, you run to me, you can ride to me. Any man run to me, you can ride to me. Took him in the flame of chariot. See, that man knew something. Listen, we can know the same thing through vicarious experience. You men go downtown and buy a suit. See, I think I'll pull it all apart and sew it together again. Oh, you don't do, you'd be a nut. The suit's made where? This is the same with Brother Brown's ministry, a prophet of God. What do? Pull it apart and when they want to build something else. Forget it. See? Let me read you something here. His body ministry, so-called. Now, here it is, the end time vengeance. He says here, others didn't believe it. He prayed them because the heart of their hearts. They didn't believe these people would see that he was not dead. He's alive. Same thing today. When you see his work, now we have already seen and are witnessing the appearing of the Lord. People are so confused, they can't tell coming from appearing. This is appearing here. Coming is later. Three coming. One, he already came in flesh. Next, immortal in the air. The third one coming back. And he said, this coming is from that coming. What coming? This appearing. This is so beautiful, fundamental doctrine that the appearing is the rapture. It is not the rapture. That's coming. You following? Well, come on, let's get the cobwebs out of our head. We're not some fundamentalist led by some woman with a fell in a trance on her back in a dark room in an Irving night meeting, spoke in tongues and said, hey, she said this. Actually, the truth is there's the appearing and the coming. They said the rapture is the appearing and the coming is later. You see, a woman did it in tongues and they sucked in just like that. But the funny thing is, she's partly true. There's an appearing and a coming. And this is the appearing. See, manifestation. Now remember, appearing and coming are two different words. To appear and then to come. Now is the appearing. He's already appeared in these last days. Right here with us in the last few years. Now it's a sign of his coming. He's appearing in his church in the form of the Holy Spirit, showing that it's him. Because people cannot do those things that you see the Holy Spirit doing. So that's the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, spoke of both places, appearing and coming. Who did it? William Branham, one person. Well, he put it on the church, that's plural. Doesn't bother me. And watch what he says down here in 91:10. Now, I want you to know this is sure. And you that listen to this tape, that you might have thought today I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. I have no to do with it, nothing any more than just a voice. And my voice against better judgment. I want to be a trapper. It's the will of my Father that I declare to do. And I am determined to. I wasn't the one that appeared under it. I was the only one standing here and he appeared. I'm not the one that forms these things and foretells things happen from the first ER. I'm only one that's new and he does it. I was the only voice. Flatter ain't worthy. Who stood down there and knew anything about this? Side of William Branham. People ran screaming, everything else. People rolled it up. And then he said, you know, I heard you just said, Bill, but that was your voice. He just smiled and walked on. Sure, it's his voice. The shout is not the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not God speaking audibly. God does not speak audibly to people.
Amen.
Only to your prophet.
Hallelujah.
Now, the Spirit can hit your inner ear here, the auditory nerve, and reveal something to you. That's fine. He can do it anytime he wants to. That's his business. But when you deal with this lip to lip, you're dealing with something entirely different. Now, he said, it wasn't what I knew. It's what I just said to myself, that he spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seven messenger. No, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man. Now, what is a manifestation of dealing with the Son of Man? Just what I've been telling you about. The work of the Holy Spirit, God in the prophet. The purifier inside the prophet. When I told you one prayer, we caught it right on the tape. He said, the purifier standing up inside of me now. Our trouble is me, I never remember tapes, and I haven't got enough brains to put it down where I heard it. And if I did, I'd lose the tape. I'd only be contradictory. It wasn't the messenger, his message. It was a mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel was not the Son. The messenger is not the Son of Man. He's the messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. How can you feed on him just seeing miracles? You don't. The prophet then tells you. He explains it. Brings the revelation. So now we have God with us, Emmanuel, once more. The same yesterday, today, and forever. You say, well, I simply want to make him my high priest in the body form. It won't work. He said, that spirit submits to you now. That spirit submits to you, becomes incarnate to you. You're crowned a king of kings and Lord of lords. That'll be the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon, Son of David, right down the line. It'll be all in all. And after the white throne of the New Jerusalem, the Lamb will be on the throne, the pillar of fire above the throne, and there'll be one together. And the bride will be one before they call the answer. Now you try to figure what that is. You won't know. All you know is there's a great future. Glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Every tear wiped, all eyes have no eyes have any tears. Okay. Now that's what he did. He said, if I don't do the Father's works, then don't believe me. And the Father spoke to the prophets, and that was their character identification. So was it with Jesus. Now remember, that's true, because he said, only what I see him do, I do. And these are the words of my Father, the one that sent me. So he heard the Father say it. A lot of you can't understand it. So it was Jesus. And promised it to him that believeth. And promised to him that believeth. My character shall do in him, just as it did in me. Oh, just a minute. What are you? See, you can fall right back into the body trap again. I ask one question. How many people tonight here are a prophet of the caliber of William Branham? There wasn't one in the world to touch him. And there won't be one until Elijah comes again to the Jews. What caliber are you? Well, let's find out. Let's be honest. Examine your heart. What are you in the body of Jesus Christ? Well, Brother Bill, I haven't been prophesied over for a long time by the latter rainers and different ones, so I really don't know. And you don't know. I'll cast my vote that the majority tonight to really know are two men in this audience. I am one standing here, and Brother Clawson's another. And I have a straight from the prophet. And I will never, 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 with the grace of God, ever try to ever get near him even. Any works that Jesus Christ that I do are of the Spirit, my brother and my sister, will lie in the teaching ministry if I yield myself to him and don't try to make something out of it that doesn't belong there. Totally yielded and humble, which if I can get to and walk in love, I'll be doing the work of him that I'm supposed to worship. And the best you can do is give a cup of cold water. You say, Brother Bill, you leave me kind of cold here. I don't know what I am. Yes, you are. You're a child of God.
Amen.
And just don't go snooping around. Just believe what he told you. If you've been identified in him, Because once you identify him, he identifies you. You're completely identified. Just do whatever you can do. Set your heart for motive. And look around. Pray, be sincere and diligent. That's all that's required. But thou, O man, that's the Bible tells us. You don't have to worry about anything. Wherever you can fill in for the glory of God, try to fill in. And fill in according to word. And you don't have to worry whether you're a thumb or a thumbnail. Or a hangnail. What's the difference? I'll tell you one thing. You're a million times better off if you can sit in the chair and a pew and earn your living and come to church and pay your tithes and do the best you can. You never try to take any place in the pulpit. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world to try it, because don't try it. I tried to stay away, and one time I walked out. I had to be carried back in just about. I don't know what the Lord holds me. Don't know the Lord holds for you. But my finger doesn't worry about being a little finger, big finger, middle finger. I'm just so happy I got fingers that work. Not even arthritic at this time. Which is a step forward, because I was going backward. A couple of kidneys that work partly. Thank God they work as good as they do. Doctors say I got congestion, no doubt I have. The liver's not so good either, but thank God as good as it is. Now we think about the church the same way. Sure. Moses ate the same manna that he brought down. If it's a fivefold ministry, they're eating the same manna that they're teaching out to you. Why do you think we're preaching? Especially a guy like me who wants to go home. Just go home. You know, have enough strength to look at the flowers and a few things. That's if they're anything. A couple of bucks to buy a roll of film or something. Why? What's the driving force before it? Hopefully something might be said that can help somebody. That's all. And he takes good care of me for being as indolent and as obnoxious as I am. But if I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do not the works, and you can't believe me, then believe the works. In other words, if you can't believe the works on the grounds of what I'm saying, forget what I'm saying and just look at the work. Sure, Brother Brown started preaching. Man, that did it. That did it. They'd have bled him for his works, all right. And he milked him dry. Oh, sure. But when they're gone, they say, well, he's a wonderful man, but you know, he's wrong. Because he believes in Jesus only. He baptized him wrong. You know that's hypocritical? That's milking your neighbor's cow and stealing eggs from the hens that the neighbor's raising. I don't think the heathen do rottener than it. You know, that's pagan religion, do something like that. That's like they had a monastery years ago. And the monks inside, they put little candles and a little bit of wax and put it on these crawfish, you know, these crabs that go sideways and all. And at night, they lit those little candles, and the people look at them and say, what is that? That's the souls of men you should be praying for, but you won't give us any money. So we can't pray for them until you give us money. So they drop the money in. Protestants, no different. One church has got monks, the other's got monkeys. Tea your bananas. Drive your bananas. Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Something wrong with somebody. Use a prophet and then say, well, he's not really a prophet. Well, you go ahead and do it. So you can't reason, you can't argue, there's no way. My brother Brandon said, look, I told you not to cut your hair, and every year you work, and he says, ha, 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 there's a big joke. Big joke. God and a prophet. The man, that man could say, look, he that sees me, sees the one that sent me. Nothing new was given about that statement. The word of God made manifest for the hour. He wasn't God, per se. But he was for this hour. If I don't do the work, but he said, then if you admit you see something there, never mind what I say. Examine the works until you realize, if you possibly can, that those works are a voice pointing to another voice. The voice of the sign, brother, sister. There were two of them. Because they came to the shout itself. One was hand and one was a discerning. Both were qualified by the miracles that took place. Nothing ever fell to the ground. He said, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that tell you who I am.
See? Now we've gone full loop on this, haven't we? We've gone full loop and come back. God in sundry times speak by the prophet's truth, identifying the church, which is now the resurrection son. And Brother Brown tells you right now, what does this ministry prove today? That he is risen from the dead, and he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit doing the works for the Gentiles that he's obligated to do. He's come full circle. And what's the people going to do? They're going to crucify him to themselves afresh. He said, I indict this generation. That's exactly what they did. It's a pity they did it. What are you going to do? You can't do anything. Where is that? Let me see now. I don't think that's the quote I was going to get here, but I don't think I can pick this up. Here's a quote here, Feast of the Trumpet. Hadn't had it through the age. See that perfect continuity of the Scripture. Here we live in it. The mysteries, even of the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and away from oneness idea, and these other things, how the Holy Spirit has moved that in and showed it privily, and the true baptism of the Holy Ghost a token. Luther didn't have it. Church wasn't seated in. Individual members were. Holy Spirit wasn't standing amongst them as he is today. And everything that placed it exactly, I placed every form and everything exactly, see, right before our own eyes. And it's not in the corner, it's world known, Jesus, the Son of God, revealing himself of the Scripture, making that Scripture that has been predestinated to this day, like it was to that day, and all other days live, and to believe it is the evidence of the Holy Ghost righteousness. And a man says he's got the Holy Ghost, and he can't recognize the Holy Ghost. How can you tell me you're eating apple pie if you can't recognize apple pie? It's just that simple. It's just that simple. There's no difference. The illustration may be very poor in the light of the Scripture, what we see, but that's the truth. Brother Ben said, if you're all eating cherry pie and you run across the pit, he says, spit the pit out. But keep eating cherry pie. Why? He's telling you the same thing. If you can't believe what I'm telling you and you run across the stone, he says, spit it out, but keep eating, keep watching those works until you come to a place where you're recognized. What did they do? They stopped eating the cherry pie. Whose cherry pie? Brother Ben's cherry pie. Wasn't your own cherry pie.
Amen.
It was his cherry pie. Because they were both eating cherry pie.
Amen.
So you got the picture tonight. Well, the Lord bless you. I just thought he had to go through. We've missed this up very badly. Next time around, we'll start on the other message. But I just had to go back into this today in order to impress upon your mind some of the words in there that you just go over it. Casually, due to a background that has been a casual background. And the reason being casual is because your preacher and you have read every book under high heaven on the subject, and they've all been wrong. And you've seen this person are contradict that person. Until now, it's just sort of something we're vaguely looking at with inconclusive understanding. Tonight, it is conclusive. It's been nailed down. It's proven. See? I believe in the present.
Amen.
I believe in that. I bend over backward to try to help people. But I tell you, I believe the Lord himself descended. Brother Brandon said Jesus does all three. And remember, Jesus is the same yesterday and forever. He's risen from the dead. And he was there in the form of a pillar of fire. I want to ask you, who talked face to face with William Branham? He said, oh, what a mistake it would have made. But the Holy Spirit stepped in the room. And he turned around and says, one of the angels. A theophany. Came in the room. And the last one was the seventh church age messenger. Holy Spirit. Just one of the seven eyes before the throne. One of the seven spirits. They're not seven, really. It's divided into ages and what have you. The portions. That was the one that meant most to him. People say, well, that had to be Jesus. No, he was right here in the mall. Yeah. So, well, I understand if you understand any way you want to. I'm not saying you've got to listen to me and understand what I say. That's my understanding. See, the Lord descended the shout, a message. And he said, I was just the voice of one. Nothing I knew. I was just handy standing there. Would you like to be handy tonight? Not to be a prophet. You're handy already, full of the Holy Ghost. Just live your life. Just ask God to lead you. That's all. There's no big wonderment. We're not rushing here and rushing here trying to fill some bill of goods. We're living day by day. And if we knew he's coming tomorrow morning and we're putting in a potato crop, well, it's already in, so now you start hoeing. You're hoeing potatoes. You keep on hoeing potatoes. You don't dress up in some kind of fine runoff half-cocked up a mountain and say, well, I'll be ahead of the rest of the gang. The Bible warned us. The last group standing here on earth, though they don't die, take no preeminence over those that did die. On the contrary, we're simply standing here to get our change, and we've got to wait for them to come out of the earth, and they beat us up to heaven. We're the last ones to go. The most privileged, and yet underprivileged. No one can argue his status. You don't have a status. If you do, I'm sorry for it. He has a status.
Amen.
That he puts us into. See, our standing with God is perfect in Jesus Christ the Lord. So just keep moving on and going on, breathing the word. My, what a wonderful thing to just breathe this word. If we none of us were anything but 95 years old, all in wheelchairs. And all we could do was, well, we couldn't talk decent so nobody could hear us and understand us. So we had a little old ear plug in here, we could hear the tape. And just sit there and rejoice. You're doing your part. You're doing your part. You're part of the body. So what am I doing? You're listening to the Word of God. You're renewing your mind. You're showing all the respects and the aspects of a child of God. Sure. So let's be encouraged tonight in the things of God. This is a once in an eternity proposition we've entered into. The end of the earth has come down upon us. We're a peculiar people. More so than we ever thought we were. The Lord bless you. Let's rise just then. Sunday morning, 10:30. Worship service. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That one who is there at the right hand of majesty on high, in the bodily form, high priest, interceding for us. And we know, therefore, if you hear us only, do not see us, but hear us through the blood, and you see our representative, Jesus Christ, you accept our petitions, Lord. We know that we're standing with John, who said, if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petition. And our petition, Lord, is to be more like Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, overcoming our lives. You are the victor. You are the God of all flesh and the God of all spirit. And you are God. And we claim, Lord, your intervening power so we can say with Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The less than I, and all in the flesh, I live by the faith the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And Lord, there's not one of us who's born again who cannot say that. But how do we say it, Lord? In what depth? In what measure? That is the great question. Help us, Lord, tonight to be real overcomers and true overcomers. To take one last look at the flesh and abhor it. And to put it to death. Annihilate it, O God, by the help of the Holy Spirit. Not saying these words just to be nice, Lord, because we're not nice in the beginning. And we're not nice at the end, as far as humanity is concerned. But in thee, Lord, we can say them and mean it. And expect you somehow, because you're God, to fulfill that word in us. That we can grow from grace to grace and glory to glory. And grow in stature and in wisdom and in favor with you, Lord. And hopefully with mankind, that they may know that we have been with you and you are now with us. So, Father, we just give ourselves to you somehow tonight more than we've ever given before. And empty ourselves more of ourselves, Lord, somehow, by your grace and by your power, Lord, to be more circumcised unto you, Lord. Cut off entirely in the heart and the mind, that your life might permeate our souls and come up through the Spirit. And then we begin to not only live in the Spirit, but walk in the Spirit with the graces of God manifest. Help us, Lord, not to aspire to be somebody or something, but may we just thank you for what you've done for us and what we know and how we are now situated in this place of the easy yoke and the light burden. Getting ready, Lord, to take our departure through the supernatural power of yourself, Lord, where you transform our bodies, which are being transformed even now because we're receiving the word around which the cells are going to recreate themselves. Inner garment, Lord, which positions us to get us out of here. Father, how wonderful and how marvelous. And Lord, we know, though we say it cannot be too soon, we wait upon thee, O God. Have thine own way, Lord. May we learn to sing that as never before, to have your own way and mean it. And so, Father, we just humbly dedicate ourselves to you and all that we are tonight. And though, Lord, we know within ourselves that we ourselves cannot do it, Lord, with you, all things are possible. We believe. We believe, Lord. And help us where we don't believe, for your honor and for your glory. For we know, Lord, it is for our exceeding and great and eternal good. This counts for eternity, what we see tonight and hear tonight and pray for tonight and enter into, O God. This is eternal. For time and eternity is blended, and soon time for us
will run out. If it hasn't already, I don't know. Lord, the dead could come any time, and yet I don't know. So, Father, may we learn to be serious and sober as never before, and give thee glory. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Yea, Lord, we would plead. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord richly bless you. Let's sing another song now. Get this mic down here. A little walk in the light. I think that might be the good one to sing.